Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I love Healing Place Church. I was here with you last year, the weekend after Easter, and Pastor Dino and I were talking, and I said I always speak somewhere else the weekend after Easter, because Easter we have so many services. Last weekend we had 19 services in three locations. We had 28,700 people attend, and 433 people accepted Jesus as their Savior. So that's the exciting part. So last year when I was here, the weekend after Easter, I said to Pastor Dino, I always take the week after Easter and speak somewhere else. And so he said to me, okay, next year I want you back at Healing Place. So and I guess I did a good job last year, so I'm grateful for that. And so I said, well, I'll come if you'll come speak for me. And so I talked to him last night. I watched his message online. We have a Saturday evening service as well. And he just did a great, great job. We love Pastor Dino and Pastor DeLynn very, very much. I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. All right, Exodus chapter 13. And I want to share with you a message called God Must Be First. I was thinking about this morning as I was praying for the service. This is probably the most important message that I share anywhere I go that God's ever given me, the most important principle that God's given me to share with any person anywhere, and that is God must be first. The Christian life, and let me say it another way, life doesn't work any other way. It just doesn't work any other way. So Exodus chapter 13, this is an Old Testament principle, but it is extremely important for us to understand. You know, everything in the Bible in the Old Testament represents something in the New. That's what 1 Corinthians 10 tells us. So Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine, or it belongs to me. And then look down at verses 12 and 13. Then you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Now, we'll come back to this, verse 13, but just, it's a little Old Testament-y, but just stay with me, all right? But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Notice, you'll still lose it. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Now, I want to give you 3 points today to try to hang your hat on this message. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write them down. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write them down. All right? So here's number one. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, that's what we just read here. Here's what he said. When you're a sheep has a lamb, I want you to sacrifice the first one to me. And when you do that, the rest of the lambs of this sheep are redeemed. When you give me the first one. And how did you know, though, which one was to be sacrificed or redeemed? Well, here's how you know. If it was a clean animal, then you were to sacrifice it. If it was an unclean animal, you were to redeem it with the sacrifice of a clean. Now, let me say that again, because that, I don't mean this in the wrong way, but that's just a little Old Testament-y for us, all right? Here's what it was. Here's the principle. If you had a clean animal, the firstborn had to be sacrificed. If you had an unclean animal, the firstborn had to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean. Now, remember I said to you that everything in the Old Testament represents something in the New. This actually represents salvation. And many, many times we don't see this. Jesus is on every page of this book. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Everything. Let me show you how. I want to ask you a couple of questions. You can answer me, all right? were you born clean or unclean? Unclean. We were all born in sin. As a matter of fact, I can prove it to you. Those of you who have children, did you have to teach your children to be bad? Or did it come naturally for them? It comes natural, right? You have to teach them to be good, all right? So we were all born unclean. We were all born sinners. We were born with a sin nature, the Bible tells us. So we were born unclean. Okay, let me ask you this question. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. Jesus was born without sin, the Bible tells us, and never sinned. Listen to the principle that I just told you. Listen, the clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. That's what we just read. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This principle of the first, of putting God first, relates to the tithe. In other words, when you gave the firstborn, the rest was blessed. Listen, it's the same way. When you give the first portion of your income to the Lord, the rest is blessed. So I want to just share something with you maybe you've never thought of. Jesus is God's tithe. Because, see, when you give the tithe, it's not the last 10% that's the tithe. That's not the tithe. I know people give 10%, but they don't tithe. Because it's not the last. God never accepts leftovers. You don't say, well, let me pay this and pay this and pay and see if I have enough left over for God. And then some weeks you say, oh, sorry, God, don't have enough left over for you. Okay, that's not a tithe. Tithe, it takes faith to give the first 10%. See, it's not the amount that releases the blessing. It's the principle of faith that releases the blessing. I've got a stack of bills here, God, but I'm going to give to you first and trust you with this. That's what tithe is. Okay, in the same way, here's what God did. God didn't wait for us to straighten up and get our act right and get clean before he gave Jesus. God gave Jesus when we were mocking him and spitting on him and nailing him to a cross. So God gave Jesus first, listen, in faith, in hope that we would accept him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here's what he said. And if you're not going to redeem it, then you got to break its neck. In other words, if you don't give it, you're going to lose it. Now listen to me carefully. Any first thing given is never lost. Any first thing not given is always lost. You're going to lose it anyway. You know, a lot of people tell me the number one reason people say they don't tithe is they say this, I can't afford to tithe. Listen to me very carefully. You will never, never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Because tithing is what removes the curse off of your life. Every time you think you're about to get ahead, something will break, something will go wrong, something will happen, and you'll get behind again. Because there's a curse on your life, according to Malachi, and the devourer is devouring your finances. And when you tithe, it says God rebukes the devourer, listen to this, for our sake. For our sake. You know, I feel like, I mean, it's very, very clear. It's so clear in the Bible. If you tithe, you're blessed. If you're not tithe, you're cursed. And it's not, listen, please understand this. It's not that God curses you. It's that you allow yourself to stay under the system of the world. See, when you get paid, your money is under the world system. And the world has a curse on it. Because sin, we live in a fallen world. But what we do when we give the first portion to God is we redeem the rest. We redeem it out from under the world system, out from under the curse, and now the devourer can't take it, can't steal it. All of the money in your account either has a blessing on it or it has a curse on it. If you gave the first portion to God, it's blessed. If you didn't give the first portion to God, it's cursed. Are y'all following me? I mean, it is just so clear, and it's amazing to me. I've talked to thousands of people. Here, all tithers give the same testimony, every one of them. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. All non-tithers give the same testimony. I can't afford to tithe. Okay, the Bible's so clear. If you tithe, you're blessed. If you don't tithe, you're cursed. I feel like saying, I'm not a smart man, but I think I like to be blessed. I mean, this is not hard. Listen to me. Here's what I told our church one time. I said, I want all of you to tithe for 1 year. If you're not fully satisfied, I will give you your money back. I'll give you your money back. Here's why. Because the Bible says so. I was standing on God's word. I know what God says. And by the way, no one came to me to ask for their money back. No one. And I'd have given it to them. If they don't want to give it, I don't want to take it. And I don't need your money. God takes care of us. It's just absolutely amazing. You understand why God invented giving in the first place? Yeah, have you ever thought about this? People say, well, he invented giving to support the church. Oh, baloney. In the Greek, it's balagna. As if God needed you to support the church. He could have sent ravens. He could send manna from heaven. He could send quail from heaven. God didn't invent giving for his sake. He invented giving for your sake. Because it deals with something in our heart. You know that there is a string from your heart to your wallet. Did you know that? You start pulling on your wallet. You can feel it right there. So God wants to bless us, but we have to respond first in faith. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Here's point number two, all right? The first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. Let me read you a few scriptures. Exodus 23:19. It says, the first of the first fruits, the first of the first fruits of your land, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. I want you to notice a couple of things. It doesn't say you shall send it to a university or a Christian school or a Christian television ministry. It says you shall bring it into the house of the Lord your God. By the way, God never ever uses the word give when he talks about tithing. He always uses the word bring because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it to the house of God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The firstborn belongs to God and the first fruits belong to God. Have you ever thought about this? Why did God say when the children of Israel went in the promised land, why did God say, bring me all of the silver and gold from Jericho? All of it. Why did he say that? It's very simple. Because Jericho was the first city. He didn't say, conquer 10 cities and then give me one of them. He said, give me the first and the rest will be blessed. And when Achan kept some of the first, there was a curse on the whole nation. It's the exact same thing Malachi. Malachi says, you're cursed, even the whole nation. The whole nation of you. Because you are robbing me. You are stealing from me. My daughter got married this last year. And when they were in that engagement time, dating time, she was standing around talking with him and some other of the young adults in our church. And one of the other young adults said, I'll bet you that your dad checks the tithing records of all the men, all the young men that want to date you. And my daughter said, he does. Listen very carefully. Why would I give my daughter to a thief? I wouldn't do it. I won't give leadership to any person in our church that's a thief. Why would I give you people when you can't even handle money? That's Luke 16, by the way. Jesus said, who will give you true riches when you can't even handle unrighteous mammon? I mean, if you can't steward something as simple as money, you definitely can't steward people. And if you were in our church, you wouldn't get responsibility over any people if you couldn't steward your finances. And here's the sad thing. You don't even understand. You're not getting the responsibility, the spiritual responsibility from God that he would like to give you because you can't handle this one area of your life. And it's not, well, let me just say it another way. It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. You shake your fist defiantly in the face of God and you say, it's my money. And God says, it all came from me. It all came from me. See, God only accepts the first fruits. You have to understand this. He doesn't accept leftovers. God can't. Did you know that? I don't know if you ever thought about this. In Genesis, it tells about Cain and Abel. You remember? God accepted Abel's offering, and he didn't accept Cain's. When I was in Bible college, one of the students said, asked the professor, he said, why did God accept Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's? And the professor gave an answer personally I never heard another professor give. Now as I look back on it, I'm the chairman of the board of a university now, and as I look back on it, I think, man, I'm so proud of that professor for giving that answer. He said, the student said, why did God accept Abel's, but he didn't accept Cain's? You know what the professor said? I don't know. Those of you that went to college, you probably never heard of any other professor use that answer either. What they normally do is they'll talk for about 5 minutes, even when they don't know, to make you think they know. But I thought it was a great answer. But when you understand firstborn and first fruits, you understand why God accepted Abel's and didn't accept Cain's. It's real simple. Let me read it to you. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 5 said, "And in the process of time," important words, "in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Notice he didn't bring first fruits. "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." Hey, by the way, this is 2,500 years before the law. See, what people do is say, well, tithing was under the law, and we're not under the law. Well, thou shalt not murder is under the law, too. Are you saying as a Christian you can murder people now? Just because it was wrong under the law, like don't murder, is it right now under grace? No. And just because it was right under the law, like tithing, is it wrong now? It's ludicrous. It is absolutely ludicrous, the testimonies I hear. And what bothers me is people are arguing to remain under a curse. I think, why would you argue with me about this? And so I try to tell people, take the money back guarantee. I'm telling you, I promise you, I want to tell every one of you here, tithe for 1 year. If you're not fully satisfied, Pastor Dino will give you your money back. Okay? Just try it. And that's what Malachi says. You understand this is the only place in the Bible you can test God? This is the only place. Find it. Find another verse. It's the only place. God says, test me. I dare you. Here's the way we say it in Texas. I double dog dare you. That's what God is saying. I dare you. Test me. Give me the first 10% and see what happens. Watch what happens. So why didn't God accept Cain's offering? Let me tell you why. Because he can't. Listen to me carefully. God can't be second place. He can't. I wish every person in the world would study the attributes of God. It would straighten us out doctrinally so quickly to understand who God is. Not what he does, but who he is. We say God loves. God loves because he is love. He is love. God is gracious because God is grace. That's what the Bible says. He is grace. He is love. Well, God is preeminent. You know what that means? That means he's above all, before all, and higher than all. And he's first of all. It means God can never be second. I mean, there are things God can't do. Did you know that? Let me just tell you a couple of them. God can't change. He can't change. This is called the immutability of God. Let me tell you why he can't change. Because if God could change, he could get better. And God can't get better because he's already best. He's perfect. God can't change. I tell you something else God can't do that most people have never thought of. God can't think the way we think. Now, I know the Bible talks about his thoughts, but it actually proves my point. God can't think the way we think. You know why? Because we think to figure things out. This is the omniscience of God. God knows everything. Matter of fact, God knows everything at the same time. Let me say it another way. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God has never said, "You know what I just thought of? Never had this thought before. I just thought of something new." So God can't think. And you say, well, yeah, but the Bible talks about his thoughts. Yeah, but it proves my points. Here's what it actually says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. As the heavens are above the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So and God can't be second place. He can't. So let me just tell you something. You pay all your bills and then give God an offering. Listen to me carefully. He doesn't accept it. He only accepts first. He can't accept second place. Let me give you another illustration about God being first. If God plays 18 holes of golf, his score will be 18. God cannot hit the ball and it not go in the hole. If he hits the golf ball, it's going in the hole because he's perfect. So the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. First fruits must be offered. Here's point number three. The tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The firstborn belongs to God. The first fruits belong to God. The tithe belongs to God. Okay, now, let me give you an example. Let's say that you own a landscape company. And so you come to do some landscape work for me, and you say, Pastor Robert, this is how much all my materials will be. This is how much my labor will be. And what I will need is $1,000 profit income at the end of the deal. This is all the expenses. This will be my salary for doing the landscape. So then I pay all the expenses. I pay all the labor involved. I pay all that. And then I give you at the end of the job 10 $100 bills. All right, that's your income. That's what you're going to take. That's what you're going to report. That's your income, all right? So it's $1,000. So you have 10 $100 bills in your hand. So let me ask you two questions, all right? Number one, how much is the tithe? $100. Now, I know some of you are still figuring. Math wasn't your strong point in school, but just trust us, all right? If there are 10 $100 bills, one of those is the tithe, all right? One out of 10, all right? That's the tithe. Okay, here's the second question. You got 10 of them in your hand. Which one is the tithe? The first one. Yeah, you're saying that because you're listening to this message, and I'm glad you're listening. But how do you, here's another question. How do you know which one's the first? Well, let me tell you how you know. It's the first one to leave your hand. That's the tithe. That's the one that has the blessing on it. That's the only one that can redeem the other nine. See, if you say, okay, here's the mortgage company, here's the electric company, here's the car payment, and here's God's. You gave the tithe to the mortgage company. Listen to me carefully. The mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. You ought to know that by now. You took the one that was holy, that was set apart to God. That's what we just read. He said it's holy. It's consecrated to the Lord. Consecrated means set apart. And you gave it to the car company or the mortgage company or somewhere else. And it did not remove a curse. And it did not redeem your finances because you gave it to someone that couldn't do it. It's extremely important. The first check I write is the tithe check. I get paid on the 15th and the 30th, the first amount that goes out of my account. Now, I double tithe, and that's the base. Actually, we gave about 40% last year, but we do a base of 20%. I was reading in Leviticus 27 there, and it said if a man has a field and he would like his field to belong to God, he wants it to be God's field, doesn't want it to be his anymore. He wants it to be God's, but he still needs the field to feed his family. Then he can take it to the priest, the deed, and say, I'm giving this to the house of God. This is the Lord's, but I still need to feed my family. And the Bible says he could redeem the field or use it for his family if he'll give 1/5 of it back to the church, to the Lord. In other words, instead of 10%, he'd give 20%. So years ago, I said, Lord, this is my job. This is what I do. I want my job to be your job from now on. And from now on, this was in 1985, 26 years ago, I guess that is, I said, from now on, it's yours. God, it's yours. And so for that long, my base is always 20%. So when I get paid immediately, I give on the 15th and 30th. Now, you have to understand, I'm not legalistic about this. You know God's not a legalistic God. Did you know that? I know some of you think he is. He's not legalistic. Do you know why he gave the law? He gave the law for two purposes. Let me tell you very quickly. Number one, he gave the law to show us the moral absolutes of God. If you want to know if God is for or against something, read the law. You know, adultery. Is God for it or against it? He's against it, okay? You can read the law. You can find out that. Yeah, that's the first reason he gave the law, to show us what perfection is. Second reason he gave us the law was to frustrate us to bring us to Christ. That's what Galatians says. To frustrate us to bring us to Christ. Literally, and if you don't think the law will frustrate you, read Leviticus. I mean, and I can just see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit sitting up there saying, hey, let's say that they have to wait 7 days if they do this. No, let's say 10 days. Say 10. Oh, yeah, that'll be great. That'll get them. And they want that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wanted us to come to him one day and say, I can't do this. God said, great. That's why I sent Jesus. Because Jesus did it. He already did it. Are you following me? Okay, so God's not a legalistic God. I'm not legalistic about this. In other words, if I get the checkbook and I notice that Debbie went to the grocery store before I was able to, you know, write the tithe check, I don't say, oh, that's great, honey, we're cursed now. You gave the tithe to Kroger's and we're cursed now. Let me tell you why. Two reasons. One, I'm the head of the house. And it's when I sat down to write that first check. But the second thing is because it's your heart. Because some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Robert, I haven't been doing this, but I've been tithing. I didn't know about this. Listen to me carefully. It's your heart. God looks at your heart. I understand that. But I would like to say this. Now you know it. Now you know it. So the tithe has to be first. We give first to the Lord, first to the house of God. Let me read you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Notice these are orders to the church. Now watch verse 2. On the what day of the week? First day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. On the first day of the week. On the first. And then he said, let each person lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Let me give you another version. Another version of the Bible says, in direct proportion to the amount that he earns. Now, I don't know why God put it as 10%, but I know why I think I know why he put it as a percentage. It's so everybody can give. It's the same for everybody. It doesn't matter if you make $40,000 or $400,000. It's the same. It's 10%. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor of a church, and a guy came to me in church and said, Pastor, you need to pray for me. He said, well, what do I need to pray for you for? He said, well, I used to make $500 a week when I first started out. So I gave the tithe $50 a week. He said, then I got blessed. I started making $5,000 a week. And but I gave $500 a week. He said, now I make about $50,000. And he said, it's just a lot of money. And so the pastor said, okay, let me pray for you. He said, Lord, I pray that you will take this brother back to only making $5,000 so he'll be able to tithe. The guy said, wait, I don't want you to pray that. He said, well, you asked me to do something to help you to tithe. I don't understand how God blesses us with everything and we won't honor him with the first. And I promise you it'll change everything in your life. Now let me show you one more verse in Exodus chapter 13. We stopped at verse 13. Look at verses 14 and 15. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? And this is, remember, sacrificing the firstborn. That you shall say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, very important, therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Okay, here's what God said. He said, there's going to come a time that your son is going to talk to you about why you're doing this. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's a guy, he's a rancher, and the son comes running in, and he says, Dad, the sheep is having a lamb right now. And so the whole family runs out there, you know, to the barn, and oh, the miracle of birth, oh, that's great. The dad picks up the lamb, takes it over, cuts his throat, and kills it. And the kid's sitting there watching this. Of course, you know, he's thinking, don't mess with dad. But he said, there's going to come a time when your son gets older. Now, here's what's going to happen. One day, the father's going to walk in from the field, and the whole family's going to be in the living room. And the oldest son's going to close the door and say, Dad, sit down. We need to talk. Dad, we're all gathered together here because we're concerned about you. You have a problem. We're in the ranching business. And our animals produce other animals for us to make a living. And I don't know, Dad, if you know you even do this. But every time one of our sheep has a firstborn, you kill it. And we're all concerned about you, Dad. That's why we're all here. And here's what he said. He said, when that happens, you say to your son, son, I need to tell you something about our family that you don't know. You see, our family wasn't always in the ranching business. As a matter of fact, we used to be slaves. We didn't have any sheep. But God with a mighty hand delivered us. Therefore, we gladly give to God the firstborn of all of our animals. Now, you know, I read this years ago. Do you know I had this happen with all three of my kids? All three of them. In some way, it happened. My firstborn, I'll never forget, and he's my firstborn. I'm sitting there, and I'm writing the checks, and I'd written the tithe check, and I set it over the side, and then I was paying the bills. By the way, for you young people here, we used to have these little pieces of paper called checks. And, okay, so anyway, I write the check, and I set it over, and there it is. So my son comes in, and he looks at this tithe check, and he's old enough now to figure out numbers, you know, and he said, "Dad, why are you giving so much to the church?" And I picked him up and I put him on my lap. And I said, "Son, I'm going to tell you something about your daddy that you don't know." I said, "You see, your daddy wasn't always a Christian. As a matter of fact, your daddy was a bad man. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered your daddy. Therefore, I gladly give to God the first fruits of all of my area increase, all of it." I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I know that there are people here that you really struggle in this area. And you've tried and tried and tried and tried and struggled. Listen to me carefully. You don't just try in this area. You just have to do it. It could be like a rent payment or a car payment or whatever. It's amazing to me how we'll do whatever it takes to make that car payment. Because we really like that car. But we won't do whatever it takes to give, to honor the Lord. I'm pleading with you. I promise you, this principle will change everything in your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change if you want to get married to the right person. It'll change your job. It'll change your health. It'll change everything. When you put God first in your life, then God can do all these wonderful things. But as long as he's not first, if he's not first of all, he's not first at all. I'm encouraging you. And some of you are tithers and you've been tithing. But I think God just stirs it back up in you that it's not a legalistic thing. It's a love thing. Because God redeemed us with a mighty hand. It is our privilege and our blessing to honor him with the first fruits. So I just want you to just take a moment, and whatever God is saying you, just tell him. You might need to say, "Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not honoring you with the first. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not trusting, for not believing your word. Lord, I ask you to forgive me," whatever it is, and then make a commitment to him. Father, in Jesus' name, I just declare your blessing over every person here. I rebuke Satan and every demonic spirit that tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that, God, you will help people to walk in this principle, to understand it, and to walk it out. And Lord, I pray that you will bless us so that we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.